This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Giving you the latest updates on the 2024 general elections. This is Power Perspective with Denzel Taylor, 8 p.m. to midnight.
It is 8 p.m. to midnight here as we chew up the time here on Power Perspective, Power 98.7. Of course, it is the 18th of June, and happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to us, and also happy birthday to, as I said at the beginning of the show, former President Thabo Mbeki, also turning 82. So big moment there, big birthday for him as well. My next guest is Ndumiseni Ntuli, and Ndumiseni Ntuli is the newly elected ANC chief whip in the National Assembly. It's going to be a very, very different National Assembly, of course, and not from previous engagements. We've already seen that sort of aura, the sort of dimensions and deliberations that are happening there are really, really different already. And Ntumiseni Ntuli will be then. Make sure that you remember the name. You would have seen the name in a lot of other places in the ANC, amongst others, someone who would have, contested for the ANC National Secretary General or also head of elections 2024. Someone who, of course, is and has been in some of the key moments and positions of the ANC. Now in another one, because holding down the National Assembly, constructed as it is going to be quite tough. And Ndumiseni Ntuli, welcome to Power 98.7. Welcome to Power 98. Sir, might I say, celebrations or commemorations? Which one do you want to go with?
No, thank you very much. And good evening to you and the fellow listeners of Power FM. I don't know. I doubt it's a celebration. I think it's the beginning of a very long and protracted journey between now and the next 5 years, in which we have to act, at least on behalf of the ANC, in a way that sustain the confidence of our people in this new brainchild of the African National Congress, the national government of national unity.
Ndumiseni, did you ever think in my lifetime, your lifetime, that the ANC would sit at 40%? Did you was it ever something that would have crossed your mind? And I ask this in a serious note. I ask this from a practicality aspect. The ANC moving along as it was, things happening both externally, internally, and some of its own making. Did you, and I think the question is geared to you. Did you ever see, a scenario of here we are at 40%, we are not the majority in Parliament, we are now putting together a government of national unity to get over some of the hurdles that, in essence, the ANC might have created itself sometimes. Did you personally think that this was something in your lifetime?
Well, obviously, it's not to the extent that the ANC would be so much below 50%. But I think the signs were written on the board when we were approaching these elections. The mood in the country was very negative.
Yeah.
Very negative against the ANC-led government, because, as you recall, we started the campaign in the midst of the hardest ever load shedding taking place in our country.
Yeah.
And, of course, the state of the economy, which has had major difficulties to absorb, especially the job seekers who are joining the market every year, whether they are graduates or those that may not necessarily be graduate, but reaching the age of people that now qualify to be employed and play a meaningful role in the economy.
Mm.
So, our research was also indicating to us there was a point where the ANC research itself was placing us at around 32%, 33%, 34%.
I had it. Someone whispered to me that it was 36, but even at 32%, that's something else. Somebody whispered to me that it was 36.
It was deeply worrying for us, because you see, we We, in the past, we've had situations where, as you prepare for the elections, and before the campaign really intensifies, the research is going to indicate, you know, a mood that reflects a lack of motivation from the electorate, being doubtful, being uncertain about their involvement in the elections. But it has never really declined to a point where it goes so much below 40%.
Yeah.
So we knew, as ANC members, and given the state of the ANC, which we discussed in the last conference, we took certain decisions, many of which could not be implemented, because when we emerged from the conference and straight to the election campaign, it's difficult to take some of the strategic decisions or implement some of your important resolutions to strengthen and reposition the organization. So, I mean, I knew, having been an organizer of the ANC and the leader of the ANC for the few years that I've been, I knew that we were heading towards a major, major electoral setback, but not to the extent that it has occurred.
Then I have to ask you, Mdumiseni, what then, as you were receiving that particular mood, and you were receiving, you know, those signs that you that were on the board, as you say it, what was the reception that you were getting when you went door to door, you know, because it, you know, I mean, how when, you know, from an aspect of, you know, people welcoming you into the yard, you know, engaging and hugging and yes and whatever, to the mood that you've just, you know, alluded to me that prevailed. How difficult was it then for you actually to go door to door, understanding that this is the mood, and, you know, some of us are not wanted in those particular, you know, doors that we are knocking on?
Look, at the beginning, it was quite difficult. That is why, towards these elections, we did something that we've never done before, where we decided that as the ANC, we are going to engage in what we called a manifesto implementation assessment. We engage with different sectors of society, we engage with the population in general. I mean, we began that work with a rally that took place in Dobsonville Stadium. Many people didn't understand why the ANC convening a rally at the beginning of the campaign. And our view was that we need to find means and ways to temper with the current mood in the country, which was very negative. But equally, we understood that if we start by these engagements with various sectors of society and the population in general, we will gain a much more objective understanding of the conditions of our people and how they feel about the ANC and the ANC-led government. And we were not wrong. But you see, people like the ANC. They really, really, truly love the ANC. I am not aware of many instances where our leadership of volunteers would have visited certain families and be chased away or be told where to get off. What has rather been an experience is that people would sit us down and complain very deeply about the state of the economy, the crisis of the load shedding and electricity, unemployment. But at the end of that conversation, they will conclude by saying, notwithstanding all of these challenges, there is no doubt in their minds that no other political party has the capacity to, you know, to extricate the country from the current challenges. You, the ANC, you need to get your house in order. You need to get your municipality to function efficiently and optimally. You have to deal with the state of some of your departments in provinces and the national government in order to meet our own expectations. So that has been obviously, we knew that if we are not expeditiously responding to those challenges, it will have negative consequences for us on the election day, and it did happen.
What you know, Mdumiseni, how do you move forward now? It's almost as though you were getting a shopping list of you know, in the election campaign of go and things you need to go and do, fix this, go and do that. And you would have had it from national government level. You would have had it from people who are just worried about the little corner that they, you know, that they exist in. How do you approach, you know, that relationship now? How do you approach government now? How do you approach the aspect of governing now that maybe would be different than, you know, some of the aspects that we would have seen from time to time?
Well, I think the first thing we've got to say as the ANC, we really have to convey our gratitude to the citizens of our country, who, despite the fact that the country is facing major challenges, continue to entrust their hopes and aspirations to the ANC by giving us a possibility to have a majority in parliament. Because that possibility has then made it possible, it has enabled us to ensure that we are able to provide leadership to political parties in the country about the direction that we need to take. This concept of the GNU, the Government of National Unity, would not have been possible to be led by the ANC, that perspective, without us being voted the majority by the majority of the South African population. And it is in that context that I'm saying, I think, I know the president has done it in our leadership, but I think it's always important for us as the ANC leadership, whenever we have an opportunity to talk to our people, to deeply humble ourselves and say, yes, of course, we know we didn't get what we're looking for, but what we receive is sufficient for us to take the country to the next step. What is going to have to happen now? Let me start where I'm deployed in parliament.
Yeah,
we are no longer enjoying the dominance and the majority that we had in the past, which effectively means that where there was a possibility for some among us not to do their job effectively and get away with it, that doesn't exist today. Secondly, all of us who are members of parliament will have to urgently acquaint themselves with the rules of parliament, understanding properly the policies of the ANC and how to implement them in the new conditions we find ourselves. But we need a hard-working team. When I was looking at the team of MPs that we have, it's a good combination of experience, mature, when I'm saying mature, I mean old senior comrades, but also a relatively younger generation. Within my own generation and those even younger than me were still in the youth league. I am convinced that if we harness that energy properly and effectively, we stand a good chance as the ANC to have this leadership of the 2024 elections or the 7th Parliament being recorded as one of the best leadership that the country could produce when posterity assess us into the future. So I think the urgent task that we need is really, really to acquaint ourselves with the work of the legislature and all of us to understand that we are there essentially to serve our people. There's no time to play there. There's no time to dodge or run around. We need to be steeped in terms of understanding how the legislature work, study the institution and the laws, and always find a creative way to persuade our colleagues, the rest of the honorable members in that parliament, about the superior logic of the policy orientation of the ANC. Because the fact of the matter is that the ANC has got the best policies. What has been our weakness is the capacity to implement those policies. And I still believe that if we approach it in that way, and of course, with great humility, I think that we will find a way in which that parliament will continue to pursue the policies that you know, advancing the social transformation agenda in our country.
Sure. Dumiseni, Zico has just also come on, wants to ask a question, but let me ask you this question before that. And you know, when one does look at the list and one could, you know, analyze who's there and look at the commitment. And like you say, you know, people who have thought that they can get away with aspects will not be able to do that again and in the future. And you know, you rightfully say that. Let me just maybe be practical towards a scenario for you. Later on today, I've got an interview around the public service and you know, the services that come from that particular aspect and what a civil servant needs to be and what the, you know, the service is. And part of what is in my head says you can assemble the best brains and put them together within that 400 component of the National Assembly, and the legislation can look great. And at the end of the day, that woman in Mqanduli or Lusigisigi or Mthatha or Bishu or wherever, you know, gets affected by that particular person who implements that particular policy, not the person who wrote the particular policy and who might have voted for the policy and or other. And in essence, if you look at the ANC's result then, you have to then get to a practical place where you say a lot maybe of the ANC's result is not maybe about the ANC itself and how it maybe conducts itself, because that is a different conversation in essence. But maybe it also is in the aspect of how the civil service, how that particular administrative aspect lands with that particular local person, whether it be, you know, grants being given or the post office or the police or whatever it is. How do you fix that particular aspect? Because if people keep on bumping against that aspect, you know, nothing could change, Mdumisani. Mdumisani, yeah.
Look, the way in which government works is going to have to change. But that change, which I will explain briefly, will also have to be accompanied. In fact, it will be made possible by the way in which the ANC headquarters itself organizes and addresses the issues facing the government, I mean, happening in government or facing our people. Let me give you an example of what I mean by that. When we started in our term of office early last year, the national leadership decided that we must establish a research department of the ANC and strengthen it in such a way that it really plays a strategic oversight in terms of what happens in government for policy formulation, policy evaluation, but equally to help the ANC, you know, to develop its own ideas and represent those ideas in society. Now, that's one aspect of what needs to be strengthened. The other aspect of what needs to be strengthened is that you have, in some cases, you will have decisions of government being taken, and then administrators or those who are working in the administration not moving with the necessary speed to ensure that such decisions are implemented.
Yeah.
And my own view is that part of the weakness in that system has been the manner in which some of our ministers relate with the work of their department, and let alone with the functionaries who are employed to implement government programs in those departments. And how you see that? You would see that when a decision has been taken, there's a follow-up, whether it's a question in parliament or in society, why this thing has not happened. The explanation provided by the minister indicates that this is somebody who's completely hands-off. Who has no intimate knowledge of what is happening in the department, except sitting in the cabinet, taking decisions and deferring to the DG and others to do the implementation.
And asked an official to write like that response for them anyway.
Yes, but we can't work like that now. We need, and I'm quite certain that President Ramaphosa is very alive to that fact. You know, we need ministers who have both political and technical acumen, who have the ability to follow up in a very detailed way whether or not the decisions adopted by cabinet and the program endorsed by parliament is actually implemented. We can't allow this situation whereby the government has a budget, we sit not knowing up until 2 months before the next financial year that this department is not going to finish the budget. And when we interrogate the reasons as to why this budget is not going to be finished because we have so many challenges there. You can see the challenges. The country is unhappy about many things, including that which must happen from that department. You can't find a cogent explanation to justify that failure. My own view is that the reason why that happens, his ministers who are hands-off, who are not interested and very keen to know, at least on quarterly basis, whether or not we are moving in the desired pace to implement decisions of government and to spend the budget of the people of South Africa.
Dumisani, I'll take Zico. Zico?
Denzel.
Hey, it's Zico.
How is it?
Lekker, broer.
Denzel, it looks like we must just be ready for the next elections. Yeah? This government of national unity is not going to stand for long. You know, Mbadula was on the TV, and then just immediately after Mbadula, Helen Zille.
Yeah, I saw them. Yeah.
And then Helen Zille stated something, and she questioned Mbadula, saying like, on which grounds? Because according to Clause 24 of the GNU, they said everyone joining the GNU must firstly via the dictatorship, which is the ANC, IFP, and the DA. And then she was asking who allowed PA to join the GNU, because other parties, especially the DA, was never consulted. And she even wrote the letter to Mbalula, asking Mbalula for clarification. What she got from Mbalula was just a response, like to say, no, I've received your communication, but Mbalula hasn't replied back. And now, according to Helen Zille, she doesn't want, not like Helen Zille is Helen Zille, but as the DA, they don't want Patriotic Alliance into the GNU. You see now? So now, this thing, this party, this festival, Umqimbi, hasn't started, but they are already fighting.
MK, yeah, Dumiseni, I saw Fikile Mbalula on my screen. Of course I was on air. I also say Helen. I saw Helen Zille on my screens again. I couldn't hear on air, but Zico maybe putting some context to some elements. And I might add that, you know, the DA in previous conversations also saying we won't work with MK, we won't work with the EFF, we won't work with the Patriotic Alliance. Maybe just put some context to what Zico is talking about.
No. Thanks to Zico for that question. And of course, I understand his major concern that if the leadership talks passing each other from the two organizations or even beyond them, it might create an impression that this is not going to be a lasting solution.
Yeah.
I want to persuade him otherwise. This is going to be a lasting solution. And let me explain why I'm saying that. The concept of the GNU is a brainchild of the African National Congress. We went to meet with each of the political parties, including the DA. Many of them came to the discussion with certain conditions. The DA said, we will not participate in the GNU if MK and EFF are involved. The EFF and MK said, we will not participate in the GNU if the DA is involved.
Yeah.
We said to them, we want all of you to participate, because what has happened in these elections imposes a particular obligation on us who see themselves as midwives of social transformation. If we see ourselves as really the servants of the people, we have to appreciate that these elections are giving us a new challenge which we have never had to deal with in the past. We said to each one of them, you know, the ANC had an option of saying, we want a grand coalition. What is a grand coalition? You just choose one or two partners and form government, we can leave all others behind. The other option the ANC would have had was that, look, in the light of what is happening, we just want to stay away and not form government and allow you, who can agree even on a decision to meet, to form government. But we understood right from the inception of the ANC that our own ideological and political interest cannot take precedence over national interest. And we said to the DA, as we invite, because they were invited by us into the conversation, they didn't invite us. We told them that we're inviting you. Yesterday we met with the EFF. Tomorrow we're meeting MK. Our effort is to persuade all of you about the correctness of establishing the GNU in the Republic of South Africa. And we spell out the principles through which we want that GNU to be united around. This document that is called the Statement of Intent is our own document as the ANC. Is the basis upon which we went out to engage other political parties. Of course, as we're engaging them, we kept on modifying the document, because once you take a decision, Denzel, that we're going to engage, the precondition to that is that you'll be prepared to persuade and be persuaded. But what we did as the ANC, and I still believe that we were correct, is that there must be certain principles which are found in the national constitution of this country, that we must insist on anyone who's willing to join the GNU to agree to abide with. And that's what has happened. Mm. And the economic freedom fighters said to us, no, we will not be party to this. And MK said we will not. The rest of other, what we call the small parties or the political parties that have lost members in less members in parliament, kept on saying to the ANC, we are not comfortable with this and that, but we are prepared to work on the GNU because we appreciate the fact that as the ANC, you are placing the national interest ahead of your own party ideological position.
Mm.
So what the DA has been doing, which is what I think the SG sought to rebut, is to position themselves as an organization that is responsible for the conceptualization of the GNU.
Mm.
That is not true. The DA was invited into the GNU and has acceded to our invitation. If tomorrow other political parties decide that, look, ANC, we are convinced this is the right direction for the country, we can see it with our eyes, and we want to come and join, the ANC will have to interact with them. It doesn't need the permission of the DA to interact with those parties because it is the ANC that has invited political parties to join the GNU.
Dumisani and Tuli, you know, I see many a night when me and you will be chatting here about the workings of Parliament or the decisions being taken and or, you know, the other concepts. And for all intents and purposes, the next 6, 10, 12 weeks are going to be absolutely crucial where the GNU is concerned. Dumisani Ntuli, thank you so much for joining me here on Power Perspective. It's been a pleasure chatting and it's been a pleasure reconnecting again. And I look forward to the many, many chats we're going to now have with you in the position there. And congratulations, let me say at the end, if I didn't say it at the beginning, on the election of course, now Chief Whip in the ANC.
Thank you very much, Denzel. And I think I also want to thank other political parties. I mean, you see, when we voted for the president, for instance, the president garnered more than 280 votes, which was far more than the number
283.
Of parties that, yes, yeah. Far more than the numbers of parties that had agreed to work with us in the context of the GNU.
Yeah.
And we didn't take that for granted. And lastly, like you said in your introductory remarks, today is the 82nd birthday of our former president,
yeah.
President Thabo Mbeki. I do want to join you and the rest of South Africans as well to say happy birthday to common president, whose wisdom, guidance, and intellectual capacity will always sustain us, the younger generation, as and when we need to consult with him as we traverse this difficult period in our lifetime. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ndumiseni Ntuli. Of course, newly elected Chief Whip in the National Assembly, ANC, will be cracking the whip there. And of course, we'll engage as that particular space gets more interesting and more interesting and more interesting. And he does then occupy a very, very critical role. But being very, very open and candid and, to the kind of remarks that the ANC would have received in the, election campaign. To an extent where the results were saying 32%. If the ANC had not tried to come to the party somewhat, the 40% would have been 32%.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.